everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hey, everybody. It is the dog days of summer in Arizona. It is swampy hot everywhere across the country, but we always want to know what's going on in the vineyard. And so, of course, it is the first Wednesday of the month. That means it is Wine Time with Peggy here on Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. And we love this show with Peggy. She gives us an update of what's going on in their vineyard. She gives us an update on just what's going on in the world of wine. She teaches us terms we've never heard about and also talks about cooking and recipes and wine pairing. So we always have a good time. Today, she's going to talk about wine region vacations, like in Arizona. Right now, we're in Arkansas, bordering Missouri. Missouri has wine, so it's pretty cool. So we're going to have a good conversation with her. Peggy Fiandaca, her and her husband, Kurt, own LDV Winery in Arizona. The vineyards in the Chiricahua Foothills, which is in southeast Arizona, right next to Chiricahua National Monument, also known as the Cochise Stronghold area. And the actual winery tasting room is in Scottsdale. So if you're in Scottsdale enjoying art, shopping, and just that beautiful sunshine and poolside weather, go to ldvwinery.com and find out how to drive your way to or get an Uber, right? Don't taste and drive. That's it. That's my new saying. Don't taste and drive. So that's a good start to this whole conversation about you know, winery vacations, which I love. But welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. A little hot, like the rest of the country. It's pretty warm in Arizona, that's for sure. But I know everyone's suffering across the whole country.
So how is the vineyard? I was thinking about this today because, you know, we're on a farm and I'm taking care of crops again. And there's a grapevine. The grapes aren't here yet, but the zucchini is. But I was thinking about this because everything's like dewy here and it's swampy, hot, humid. And I thought, okay, I know you're always talking about those grapes can't get too moist. Do you want them nice and dry? And I thought, is Peggy and Kurt, are they running around the vineyard with a hairdryer, a big hairdryer on the cool setting, not the hot setting, the cool setting? I mean, how's it going with all this heat for the vineyard?
Well, you know, to remind people where we're at, we're in southeastern Arizona, so we're at 5,000 foot elevation. It does not get as hot as the Phoenix area or the Scottsdale area. It is still warm, though. So we are hitting the 100 degree mark, a little over 100 degree at the vineyard. And it's hot. It's not like the 115, 117 up in the Phoenix area that we've been having record heats for the last 10 days, almost 2 weeks. But at the vineyard, it's warm. So it does have an impact. You know, we have to water more, obviously. So our water bill is really high. Luckily, we can manage that water. And, you know, it puts stress. So we're seeing a little bit of stress on the vines. You see that in the coloring of the leaves when it's a little bit, it's being stressed. But not so bad right now. I mean, it is monsoon season. We're going to talk about monsoons. And so it is monsoon season in Arizona. And so that is always tricky. Yep. So
I love the monsoon season. I know you probably don't with the vineyard, but I think that's the one thing people, you know, I know a lot of our European friends travel through the desert and go to Arizona in the summer. And so that's you know, they love it. They love the desert heat. And the rest of us are running indoors going, what are you nuts? They're like, no, I'm doing this, you know. But the monsoon, I tell people, like, Arizona in the summer monsoon season, it's magical to watch the storms. You just get up early in the morning, go out for a late stroll, maybe have fireside wine time, you know, in the evening under the stars. So it's really a magical, just different way of being. Plus you get wildflowers throughout the summer too, depending, like in your area, southeast where the vineyard is, there's other really cool things happening in the summer. But like you're saying, it's a little tricky. So like, are you watching the radar 24/7 right now?
Oh gosh, and we have a weather station on the vineyard and everything. So yeah, it's the weather station is on the television at all times. It's on Kurt's phone. He's constantly monitoring it. But, you know, the monsoon season, people don't realize, you obviously do because you made mention of it. It happens in the summertime, but it also happens in the wintertime in other locations. We get the monsoon in the summer, and it usually starts June 15th and ends at the end of September, usually. And it's basically, for those who may not know, it's a seasonal change in the direction of the prevailing winds or the strongest winds. And the result of that, we can get, I mean, heavy downpours of rain where in a short amount of time, we can have mass flooding that can occur just from the downpour of rain and the soils not being able to absorb all of that water in such a short amount of time. And we can have incredible lightning storms, which is obviously a little scary for forest fires, and they can not ignite those fires. And then our humidity goes up a little bit. I mean, nothing like Arkansas and where you're at and right now where we're taping, but it does go up. So when you're 110, 115 degrees and you're at 30% or 20 some percent humidity, that's warm. And that's what the valley, the Phoenix area is like. But also you get these unbelievable dust storms, haboobs.
Oh, the hoodoo. Oh, what are they called?
Haboobs.
Haboobs. I was as hoodoos. What? No, those are the rocks. Yeah. Oh, man, those are crazy.
Right. When we lived up in Fountain Hills, which is a little ways outside of Scottsdale, and it's a little bit out elevated, and you can see the whole valley, you can watch these haboobs move almost, you know, come in like 30 miles across the valley. And it's just this sheet of dust, basically. They're very dangerous to drive in, and they can do damage. But again, another fascinating weather phenomenon that occurs.
I find it, to me, I'm fascinated by it. So I'm like one of those, if it's hailing, I'm one of the people that go like, I got to go outside and see, like, put my hand out there and go, oh, I don't know why it hurt. But, you know, but it's, I don't know, the Southwest weather, and it can change. And the monsoon season, you know, it's actually a really big deal if you're hiking. You've got to be aware of it when you're hiking in the desert. And so I say early mornings is good. You know, I remember we lived out in Joshua Tree and we were driving a friend to Vegas. We were going to Vegas for a little vacation with him. And he's from Boston. And we're at our house. And I said, no, we need to go. A monsoon's coming. And he's like, no, it's not. Look, the whole sky is blue. Like, no, it's coming. No, no, no. And he's yip yapping away, drinking wine. And I'm not. I'm like, I have to drive us to Vegas. Can we get there so I can drink wine? You know? And he's la, la, la. We get in the car. And he's like, no, yeah, you're full of it. I'm like, no, I'm not. Swear to God, within an hour, we're on the road. And I take all these back roads, you know, to get up to Vegas. And it's beautiful, right? All through the Mojave.
Right.
Here it comes. And the way the part of the desert where we were, it literally looked like an ocean coming across. And he, as the quietest I've ever heard him get. Even Nancy and I, we were all like, oh, we, you know, and it actually bottomed the car out a little bit and the windshield cracked because of the way the roads, you know, go with the sand dunes out that way. And we were hauling and anyway, we made it to Vegas and he never doubted my weather sense again. Cause I was like, you can't tell unless you really understand the weather. You can kind of feel it when you know the area, but I think it's fascinating to see the desert become the ocean. Cause I feel like the desert is the ocean, like an ancient seabed.
Yes. Yeah, it's awesome. And in the mountains where we are at that elevation, the weather swirls around. So you might think that you're getting potentially a storm coming off the Chiricahua Mountain, and then the winds will shift and actually the lightning starts, you know, somewhere to the south or to another direction. And so it swirls and it's very unpredictable. And it can come on very rapidly, like you say. And so you really need to take shelter because the lightning in the mountains are very crucial. And that's the scary part for the vineyard also. I mean, we had a lightning strike a couple of years ago that killed all of our electronics in our well house and in our irrigation system.
Not fun.
No. So it's a scary thing. And the other thing about the weather, the monsoons, this time of year is the downpour, the rain could bring a bit of hail, which obviously could devastate the grapes. Ooh. The grapes are looking really beautiful right now, really full, and the bunches are getting large, but they haven't, you know, they're unprotected only by the, or they're protected only by the leaf canopy that protects those grapes.
Can't you quickly just go put them in a house?
I know, right?
Let's just put a barn, like click your fingers and a barn comes over. I was like, okay, we're safe for now. But hail is, that's so, you can't move fast enough for hail.
You can't. There's nothing you can do. You just sit and watch it and go, okay, there goes the Syrah.
Well, but this is what I want to tell people about when everybody starts getting picky about prices of wine. If you could only understand this, is why we're doing this podcast, to understand how much goes into it. And if you lose a Syrah, well, next year it's like, oh, you have to, like, you, you can't lose a Syrah. You know, that's my favorite. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. But I wanted to ask this, with it getting hotter, and you're saying that you can see that the vines stress a little bit. You know, sometimes that's good for crops. A little bit of stress makes them produce, right? Does it affect the sugar content of the grapes when a vine gets a little stressed?
Not so much from the stress, like I'm suggesting that we're seeing on some of the leaves, but high moisture, you know, in the grapes can make it slow down the ripening, because what you want to get is the ripening to occur in those grape clusters. And you know, if you have a lot of rain, plus also the rain, if you have it happening at this time, it can create some mildew in the grape cluster, which we don't want. I think I've talked about in the past how we handle that by spraying a baking soda kind of mixture on the grape clusters to help prevent mildew from forming. So, the stress, not so much. I mean, luckily we irrigate, so we can control water, but people that are dry farming their vineyards and they have the heat or the monsoon like we do, it's tricky. It's a lot tougher.
Oh, we should do a thing about dry farming versus, you know, that's a whole topic that is fascinating. You know, just is really, really fascinating. I want to move on to your word of the day, astringent. So then I start the astringent. I started thinking all kinds of things. I'm like, what are you looking at? Like the grape? I'm starting to think about all the skincare things. Like, you want your skin astringency. So I'm like, are you looking at the grape going, okay, I'm sending you in for Botox? Like, what?
Right. Well, astringency, and you might have people use that term when they're tasting wine, particularly a big red like a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Petit Syrah. They might describe it as being very astringent. And what to think about astringency in wine, it's not a flavor, but it's how your mouth feels when you're sipping that wine. It's a sensation that's prevalent in certain wines that you might taste. And it really occurs at the back of the mouth, you know, or the back, and you feel like the dryingness or drying, and maybe you might pucker a little bit if the astringency is out of balance in the wine. Some people describe what they're feeling when they're tasting it as that the wine is bitter or the wine is sour, but those are flavors. Sour and bitter are more of a taste, where astringency is a sensation that you're having when you're tasting that wine. And it happens because of the level of wine tannins. And I know we've talked about wine tannins, which are basically when you know, created by the structure of the grape, as well as the amount of time that the juice of the grapes are in contact with the skins of the grapes. Obviously, you know, that's mm-hmm. what gives the color, but it also will create those tannins that can be very astringent. So a wine's tannin level can be impacted by several winemaking techniques, mm-hmm. Such as how long you let the juice remain in contact with the grape skins, okay. But also it's, you know, fining. We talked about, I think, fining in the past, mm-hmm. Which is a process that helps you to deal with the tannins, manage those tannins in the wine. And it's usually, in order to fine, you add something into it, and it's usually like an egg white solution or some kind of fining agent that's put into the wine mm-hmm. that attracts the particles in the wine, and that you take it out. How that all is managed will determine how much that mouthfeel of astringency might occur in your when you're doing wine tasting. You know, at LDV, as I've talked about in the past, we manage those tannins and hopefully manage the astringency of our big reds through our winemaking process and our aging process, because we don't fine our wines like a lot of people, most people do. So,
well, I know, because you had those little bitsies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this is straight from the farm, man. I like this. This is,
yeah.
I always find wines that have the bits, I call them bitsies, uh-huh. that it, I prefer those wines. It's just me personally, you know,
yeah.
A preference. For some reason, I just am more attracted to those kinds of wines that, so
yeah.
I like your process.
We call it love dust. Your wine maker.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like old bitsies, but yeah, I like love dust. All right, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So that's a new word. Astringent. Actually, when you said egg whites, that's the other time I've heard astringent. Like,
right.
I think we use that in cooking even. Astringency. Yeah. There's like some things with egg whites. I don't know why I know that. Astringent, yeah. Going with egg whites. I don't know what and how, but it's related for some reason.
Yeah,
but probably. Hey, I've got a new word now. Yay.
Yes, you do. So when you're at that next wine tasting and you taste a big Cabernet and you think, I'm feeling that puckering. I'm feeling mm-hmm. that sensation in my mouth, and maybe it's out of balance and it's astringent, but it's definitely a high tannic wine.
Yeah, that's not my favorite thing. With that, right. You know, then I'll eat right. sour candies, and then you can't have wine. Can't eat right. sour candies and drink wine. That would ruin the wine.
Yes. That's
not a good plan. No,
exactly.
not a good deal. Okay. So I'm so excited to talk about vacations, because we're still yes. in summer, and you know, I know your harvest time has to be coming up. Right. So
right.
would you say, cause you know, it's almost back to school. Right. And so yeah. there's a lot of people who do that shoulder season. A lot of, especially if you're retired or you
right.
can work from home or work remotely, be like Nancy and I were like, we'll go anywhere, as you know, to the hills of Arkansas, we will go, you know, and I like it out here, but when is it good to go when there's a harvest going? Because some people think, oh, it's, you know, you guys are really, really busy at that time. You know, should we go at harvest time? I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's it's the most beautiful time of the season of the year is right before harvest. And you know, harvest will begin most likely in most wine regions in the US probably towards the end of August, middle to end of August. So like we have our annual wine country barbecue on August 5th. It's always the first Saturday in August, because we're pretty certain we're not going to be harvesting yet, and people get out in the vineyard to take incredible photographs of the grapes and so on. So, yeah, I think it's a good time of year. I thought this was a good topic to think about, because people are trying to sneak in their last long weekend vacation or sneak in their vacation before, you know, the fall hits. And Arizona, you know, people don't realize we have incredible wine regions, but each one of the wine regions in Arizona have so much more than just the wine tasting, so much more to see and do. And so I think what I encourage people is don't just go to a wine region just to do power wine tasting.
Oh my gosh. You'd be walking around like ding dong, ding right. dong. You have to hire a full-time driver.
Yeah, exactly. But immerse yourself in that region and immerse yourself in and learn about why that region is so special. You know, like in southeastern Arizona, where we are, you know, we grow so many different types of produce, and we have incredible organic farms and you pick them. So corn season is about to start, and we have some of the best sweet corn.
I think Apple Annie's.
Annie's is up and running, and they you can go get fresh vegetables, and this year they're peach crop and their apple crop was destroyed by weather, unfortunately. So you can't really you can't pick peaches this year or apples, but they have incredible corn coming on. And then of course the history of our region is incredible.
Right. You know, apparently Georgia got nailed for peaches too this year. Yep. It's a bad peach year. It's sad. But you know, when we pit set out at Peachtree City and you know, it's peaches, Their banana trees exploded in the ice and because of the cold temperatures. They literally, because they hold so much water, exploded.
Oh my gosh. There.
So, and I was wondering, what's going on in the middle of the night?
Wow.
Go check the banana trees. No way, dude. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So their temperatures do some craziness. But I love what you say about this, because, I mean, you know, we travel full time and our whole thing is get people into parks to understand the connection between the community and the parks. We talk about this all the time. Like, to me, if you're going to go, I would highly suggest people go to Fort Bowie and Chiricahua National Monument in your area, because you learn about, you've got the Sky Islands, by the way, and you've got four seasons. Right. And I think even for fall, we're talking about vacation planning, fall, going through vineyards in the fall, like, heck yeah, it's gorgeous, right?
And the bird watching that time.
In your area, let's just really focus on your area as a vacation. Like, your fall is beautiful. Like you say, you've got the migration. You've got these parks. You've got Saguaro National Park on your way there, too.
Right.
You've got Karchner Caverns. You know what? We haven't done that yet.
Tap, tap.
But your whole area, you could spend a month and not do it all.
Correct.
And do all the wine tasting. Wilcox, Rex Allen, you know what? I've got a whole guide on this in my head. Like, seriously, you've got Rex Allen, you've got the museum. Is the theater still there?
Rex Allen Theater? Remodeled. It's
oh, wow.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is cool. So all that historic district, when we were there in the beginning of our tour, this is one of the very first places we visited was Wilcox. And we did. That's it. I'm writing a whole article on this now. It's your fault. This is really cool, because if you do Southeast Arizona and you spend time there, and a lot of people I know, if you're in the Midwest, and Nancy and I now know all about the Midwest winters, get the hell out. Go down. You need to go south and you need to start planning and going now. And don't wait until January, February to do it.
Right.
Enjoy the fall colors driving down. Arizona does have fall colors. It's different. Yes. It's in the cactus barrels, the little yellow seed pods and all of that. But you've got Tombstone. Come on, that's fun to go to. You know, the town that never dies. You've got all the way down to Bisbee. You could do that whole, and there's that mission that has bread, I remember.
Yeah.
Is it, was it Fort David? St. David.
I don't know if that, it's a monastery, I think.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a monastery. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
I'm not certain if it's still open. I think it might have closed, but I'm not certain. Oh. You have the Sonoyta Elgin area, which is also a wine region, but you know, they have the Patagonia Sonoyta Creek Preserve that is unbelievable to see. And there's a Patagonia Lake State Park in that area. So not only wine tasting and spirits, there's distilleries making incredible liquors, but there's other things to do. Hiking is incredible over there also.
Yes, yeah, Sonora Patagonia Reserve. There's a nature conservancy right. there. There's the Patagonia Correct. Lake. And there's bed and breakfast that you can yes. stay in, Airbnbs. And then if you go down to Chiricahua, not Chiricahua, Fort Sierra Vista area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Fort Huachuca yeah. Mountains, right? So yeah. there is a beautiful preserve out there that is, you've got water lilies, you've got all these just, you got a river, and also Coronado National Memorial, which borders right. Mexico. And that right. park was originally actually going to be a park that was on both sides of the country, both sides.
Well, it is a national
memorial.
Mm-hmm. Monument, I think.
It's a memorial because it was supposed to be a peace park between the two countries. But yep. You've got that on that side. And it's beautiful. And they've got a cave, but it's a dead cave. I've been in the cave. It's cool.
Oh, wow.
You had to climb down. I went with a park ranger and did that. And beautiful hiking. Then you've got the other side, which is the Tucson side of you, which is not far, right? And you've got Tubac. Oh, my God. Tubac is fun. But all these wineries. How many wineries do you think?
Oh, gosh. I think in the Wilcox area, we're up to, 25, maybe 30. And then Sonoyta Elgin, it just is growing like crazy, and with wineries in that area too. So yeah, you definitely, like you said, you could definitely spend several weeks. And of course, many of those places, you can, if you're in traveling by motorhome, you can do harvest and stay on the properties and as you go around the region. So, and of course, if you're coming in the fall, you have incredible stargazing. So the night sky in the fall and winter time is just unbelievable for those who like astronomy and the night sky. So, yeah.
Is it Fort Whipple, Mount Whipple, Whipple Observatory? Yeah, it's up there in the top. It's on the other side of you in Madera Canyon. Madera Canyon is world renowned for hummingbirds.
Right.
And they even have bear out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, so do we.
Oh, that's right. You do. I watch the webcam things from Chiricahua National Monument on Facebook all the time. And you've got coatis, and you see them. It's like always a big deal. Yay, the coatis are here. Chiricahua National Monument, speaking of tourism, do you know that this is one of the very first actual dude ranches, actual like lodges in a national park unit in the country? And it was started by the Faraway Ranch.
And
it was started by immigrants and women while their men were off serving in the military in the different wars.
Right.
Women did it, and one was blind, and she just, you didn't mess with her, man. She'd come at you with a shotgun on her horse. So the stories, I mean, that's the thing about you're drinking wine, but understanding the history behind that soil, that land,
who
came before you, and understanding. I mean, you're really in a magical spot. Like, I can't wait to come to your winery. Nancy and I are like, you're in one of our favorite places. And Harvest Host, tell people about that they can go through Harvest Host and park.
So it's a nationwide organization. You can join Harvest Host for an annual fee, not very much. And then it gives you a database of all these farms and orchards and vineyards all across the country that you can make a reservation and stay on their property. And accommodations vary. So on our property, you need to come self-contained.
Yeah, most are, yeah.
Yeah, and most are like that. And you usually stay a day or two on property. And, all that we hope, it's free to do that. All that we hope is that you buy some wine and enjoy our property and take away, don't leave a footprint when you're.
Exactly. It's about understanding. A friend of ours, Peter and his wife, are out doing their big, cross-country travels in their RV. Now they've retired and he makes wine. He's got his own backyard wine thing going. It's cool. Uh-huh. So he's a baker. Hi, Peter. I'm going to have to send him this. He's amazing. And they're going across country. So we're following them, and he bakes bread, and he's a Danish baker. He does all these things in the RV, showing giving people lessons, and they've been doing reports. And so I'm, of course, watching every move, because in some of the places we've been, some we haven't, you know. And he's at wineries. He's using harvest hosts, and he's at wineries, one winery at a time. And he's making these meals that, I mean, I couldn't even make in a kitchen, right? There's no way I'm doing this. And he's doing this in an RV, and they're sitting watching monsoon storms. I think the last one, they were in South or North Dakota, drinking wine from the winery with this monster of a meal. Like, I mean, this is like a, that you'd get in a, you know, five-star restaurant.
Right.
Do it. And they're watching the storm. He's like, you cannot beat this view and the wine. He's like, I think they ended up with a case of the wine, because is this not, I mean, that's a really cool way to travel.
It's all about experience. You know, I always said that when we would just collect wine and not be making wine, we bought wine at places that we had this incredible experience, and we learned about their location and how they made their wine. And it just added to the enjoyment of the wine when we brought it home and opened a bottle for our friends and family, just to be able to tell that story of place, the place we bought it, and the people we met along the way. So, you know, when you're taking your weekend vacations and you're going wine tasting or whatever, birding or whatever, connect to the community. You know,
Wings Over Wilcox happens in the fall, doesn't it? Yeah. Wings over the, you've got the sand, those cranes.
Yeah.
Those beautiful cranes. Is it sand cranes?
Sandhill cranes. Yes. And so, yes, that festival or that event is a week-long event now. And they have, and it's all over the southeast area from Sierra Vista. There's things happening up in Wilcox. There's things happening.
Isn't a wine festival in October too?
And there's Wilcox? A really large wine festival in October or November. I can't recall what the date is, but yes, so much to do. So come to.
See, that's it. Okay, yeah. Go to Scottsdale, because now I want to know about Scottsdale. So I could sit and do like a 10-hour show just on your area and still not be done. Like, honestly, that's why I'm like, I have to write an article now. Going up to Scottsdale, what is the experience for people if you're looking at, I mean, we're talking August, September, October, so in through the fall, you know, because that's pretty much what we're talking about. That's when the weather really starts to get awesome.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, you know, we're still booking groups this summer where people are getting out of Arkansas and Florida because of the humidity and coming to Arizona for bachelorette parties still, even over the summertime. In fact, I have a large corporate group, wine and cheese and wine and chocolate tasting on Thursday for a group of people that are coming in for a conference. So, but yeah, coming into the fall, really September, kind of you start seeing a shift. And with October, more the weather starts getting beautiful in the Scottsdale Phoenix area, starts cooling off, evenings get cooler. And so we have Scottsdazzle coming up in that annually near the holidays. And we have this canal convergence where we bring in, they've been doing this, I want to say, for almost 10 years in Scottsdale. And it's these artists from all over the world. You know, it's an invitational, and they'll put these public art installations throughout downtown Scottsdale and along the canal. And it's just a week of walking and experiencing this art.
I love it. Wine and art can't beat that.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, it's all around our tasting room where we're located, because we're right on the canal in that area. So
what is the canal? What do you talk about that?
It's basically how water flows through the valley.
Oh, okay. So
it's a canal that we have developed as a, not like San Antonio, which is really a larger waterway, but with that kind of walkable development on sides of that canal. So it's an amenity, not just a public works project, you know.
Okay, no, so it makes it beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Because I know Scottsdale's I mean, you have so many festivals going in through the
right.
winter. I mean, Phoenix, Scottsdale, I mean, the whole greater area. And yeah. when people come up to your area, I know we've done some shows with Linda Kassam
yes.
On some of the food highlights.
Oh
so
my gosh.
It's like going to you as part of also going like on a farm to table. You've got a lot of farms in the area too. Like you've got right. the Olive Mill. Am I saying that right? Olive,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
If I haven't been there, it's hard. But if I've been there, I'm going to know you for the rest of my life.
Queen Creek Olive Oil.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's yeah. it. Queen Creek. And all through that area, don't you have sure. like
incredible
farms? I think.
Schnepp Farms. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's okay. a you pick them and it's really developed. That's down in Queen Creek also. And there's wonderful farmers markets that we have, and they start up in the fall and run all winter. And we have a wonderful one in downtown Scottsdale. But yeah, there's just so much to do.
Do you find people, when they come to Scottsdale, are they staying like in Airbnbs and then taking wine back to their Airbnb, maybe going to the farmer's market and having like creating their own local meal, you know, yes. when they're there?
There's a little bit of all of that. Of course, we have incredible resorts.
Yeah, you're known for resorts. Yeah.
Incredible. And we're getting a new Caesars hotel right by our tasting room in downtown that's non-gambling, the very first non-gaming resort.
Well, wait a minute. No, I don't know, ma'am.
I know. Should be interesting.
I want my machines. They're fun. You right. know, we were in a gas station in Missouri. I ran in to just go fill the tank. I think we were in Missouri and there were people gambling in the gas station.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So we don't have that in Arizona yet, but we're getting a Caesars. So, but it also has like,
that's nice though.
You know, really incredible restaurants coming as part of that. Giada, who
nice.
Is having a restaurant in that. But so yes, Airbnbs, we're big on Airbnbs. A lot of private chefs make dinners for people at their Airbnb. I know several caterers that do, and private chefs that's a good part of their business is for folks that are at Airbnbs. So yeah, you get a little bit of fun resorts, and then you know also the place to be in the summertime is at our resorts in Scottsdale because you get incredible deals.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, it's true. It pays to
not
go in high season.
Yes, exactly. And that some of those resorts have these huge water parks as part of them and lazy rivers and just a
Ooh.
Fun place to be. So
before you go, August 4th is White Wine Day.
White Wine Day. And so I want people to try something new. You know, try a different white wine. Don't, you know, if you're always a Chardonnay drinker, try a Sauvignon Blanc. Or if you're always, you know, you love Sauvignon Blanc, pick up a Viognier and try that. And or if you're stuck with only drinking California white wines, try a new region like Arizona or the Finger Lakes area. Try a white wine from those areas. And you know, it's also summertime, August. You're going to start seeing corn on the cob at farmers markets and things like that. So I have a great recipe that goes with white wine, which is my fresh corn salad. And yeah.
We'll post that in the show notes for everybody to get, and we'll put it up on our site. So fresh corn is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We get it. You know, like I said, we get it in southeastern Arizona and I don't even cook it. You just take it off the cob or eat it right off the cob. You don't have to cook it before you make the salad. You just cut it off the cob and toss it with some wonderful fresh vegetables and things. But yeah.
Oh, now just give everyone a quick overview of your white wines since, you know, they need to know.
Well, we have two right now on the market, which is our Viognier, which is Sky Island Viognier. So anytime we use the term Sky Island with our white wine, we just want the grape to shine through with no influence from barrels. So it is a light, crisp white wine, similar to a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And it just is a wonderful summertime wine. You put a little chill on it, and it makes a perfect pool pounder, as I always say.
Yay.
We just released a Rhyolite White, which is also a Viognier, but you know, Rhyolite Granite is all over our vineyard, and so this is an honor of that granite that influences our flavors on our.
I want to try that. We're behind on the new wines here. Nancy and I are like, okay, when does shipping season start again?
Yeah, real soon. Well, all of August, we have this incredible sale that is going on. So 30% off cases, and you can mix and match your case. And that offsets the overnight shipping. So we could ship across the country even this summer if someone wants to take advantage of our August sale.
Oh, so it's overnight. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a smart move. Yeah, I like that. So right. You could just say, we need the party patio, the patio pounder package. But yeah, we call exactly. It the party package. You know, just be that's it.
Yeah, we could send you some vignette and some rosé, and you'll be all set for the rest of the
summer. Rosé is fantastic. You know what? I think rosé goes, well, I'm sorry, but I still drink like Syrahs and cabs in the summer because I can't. Yeah, Malbecs and Mourvedres and apparently I say Mourvedre wrong. Is that, am I saying it wrong?
I say it Mourved. But I don't know. I'm not absolutely certain. I'm not a linguist.
Well, everyone, ldvwinery.com is the place to go. Peggy is here every first Wednesday. We're very excited. And starting in September, Peggy is part of our new special Farm, Garden, and Vineyard show. It's like a whole day of celebrating gardens, farms, and vineyards and the people that work so tirelessly and take giant risks to make our food and our wine. And I categorize wine as a food group, and so does Nancy. If we don't have wine, there is no such thing as Big Blend magazines ever coming out. That's that. So thank you so much, Peggy. Everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.